And I began immediately to ask God to give me grace, not to just fill in time, but to give me a message for you. And I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about grace alone. Grace alone. Ephesians, the first chapter. Just hold your Bibles open to this portion of Scripture. When I was 19 years old, I was required to prepare sermons for homiletics pastoral theology class, and I always tried my best to prepare the messages that were needed in the class. And this was one of the messages I prepared then. The outline, I have no idea where I got it, but it was apparently a pretty good one. Some years later, I found out Brother George Fletcher use this very outline from Ephesians 1, and when he preached for Brother Mahan back in the 50s. And I found that out because when Brother Mahan went out to preach for folks in Newport News, Virginia, Brother Fletcher was in his 90s, came in a wheelchair, and he preached the same outline. If you want to jot it down, it will work well anytime you're studying Ephesians 1. God's grace in salvation, purposed by the Father, purchased by the Son, performed by the Spirit. Let's look at these first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Paul, God's messenger, by God's will, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to you who believe, you're God's saints, God's holy ones. All who believe on Christ are sanctified in Christ Jesus. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There's another characteristic of all who are born of God. They are saints. They are faithful. They're in Christ Jesus. All the blessings of God, all the goodness of God, all the knowledge of God, all the revelation of God is in Christ. Yesterday, Shelby called and talked to Mabel Dix for a good while. She got off the phone. Mabel, I guess she must be 90, 91 years old, getting ready to have surgery. And she said to Shelby three or four times, she said, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Everything's all right. What a blessing. In Christ, all God's goodness in Christ. And all who are God's are in Christ. Grace be to you. What a wonderful word, grace. Grace be to you. If you're in Christ, it is. And peace. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul begins to enumerate these great blessings of grace. But before he does, he speaks of these blessings giving us reason to give praise and honor to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Everything, I repeat, is in Christ. Now let's look at these blessings with which he has blessed us. First, by the purpose of God our Father. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Our great God, our Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true and living God is a God of purpose, absolute purpose, sure, immutable, unalterable purpose. In his everlasting, eternal purpose of grace, God determined to save a people for the glory of his own great name, and he sovereignly constantly rules the universe to accomplish our salvation. Would to God I could half believe what I declare to you all the time. Our God sovereignly, graciously, wisely rules the universe all the time in all the details of the universe for the accomplishment of the salvation of the people he chose before the world began. In this sovereign purpose of grace, the Lord God graciously bestowed upon us four distinct blessings that are described here in these verses by the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of inspiration. He gave us election and predestination and adoption and acceptance. These great blessings of grace are eternal blessings. God the Father chose us in eternal electing love before the world began. Our Lord Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Wonder of wonders. God Almighty, in everlasting love, chose me. God, let me never get over the wonder of your grace. He set his heart upon us. He determined to have us, to make us his own. He chose us before the world began, chose us in Christ, and chose us for the purpose of making us holy and without blame before him. Holy, perfectly holy, without blame, with no blame from God before him. He's not talking here about our coming in time to arrive at a certain measure of holiness and sanctification. No, no. Before the world was, the Lord God determined to take men and women fallen in Adam, depraved by nature, corrupt in all their ways, to make us holy and without blame before him. He commands, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And he gives what he commands. He says, "Walk before me and be perfect, even as the Lord your God is perfect." And he gives that which he requires. He did this in love. In love. The sweetest, most loving, and most gracious revelations of God's love are to be found in election, predestination, and redemption. Those things that men, natural men, religious men, unbelieving reprobate men, those things that they find most obnoxious and consider hardest are indeed the sweetest and most blessed revelations of God in Holy Scripture. Election is the revelation of God's love. Predestination is the revelation of God's love. Redemption is that by which God makes known these sweet works of his love in accomplishing the everlasting redemption of our souls by the sacrifice of his own darling Son, revealing his love for us in Christ Jesus the Lord. God's choice of us was that which was done in eternity, and he made no mistake. He chose us and never changed his mind in spite of everything in us. And then in love, God the Father predestinated us. He predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. When all's said and done, the only thing you and I need to say to anyone with regard to God's predestination, when men get in a rage, and they do, when men pitch a fit because of it, and they will, you just simply state, "He did this because that's what he wanted to do." That's all. He's God. Well, why did God predestinate this? Why did God predestinate that? Because that's what he wanted to do. He predestined everything that comes to pass in time because he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us to experience the blessedness of adoption. The adoption took place before the world was in sovereign election. And we come to receive the nature of God in the new birth as we experience this adoption and receive the adoption of sons, recognizing that God is our Father when we call upon God in heaven and say, Abba, Father. God the Father adopted us into His family, adopted us into union with Himself, adopted us as His sons. And His sons are all adopted as firstborn sons. Isn't that amazing? This is the church of God is called the church of the firstborn. Now that might be understood firstborn as being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn. Or it might better be read, indeed would better be read, church of the firstborn ones. You and I, who are God's, are firstborn sons. Firstborn, one with Christ, the firstborn. Firstborn, the firstborn son is the one who is at the Father's right hand. In Jesus Christ, we're at His right hand. The firstborn son is the son of power and authority, prevailing with God and over all the house and all the possessions of the house, owning them all. That's the lot of the firstborn. The Lord God adopted us as His sons in Christ before the world was, and from eternity we're told that He made us accepted in the beloved. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. These are the blessings with which God Almighty blessed us from everlasting in Jesus Christ. As God will give me the grace to think on my feet a little bit, I've made up my mind from now on, every time I hear someone say to me, I'm blessed. It's a common expression these days. Or have a blessed day. I'm going to respond to them, I am blessed too. Blessed from eternity. Blessed with all things. Blessed of God. That ought to raise some, at least some questions, if not eyebrows. Yes, indeed, we are blessed of God if we're in Christ. Blessed of God from eternity. Blessed with blessings which can never be taken away and can never be changed. And then in verses 7 through 12, the Scripture speaks here of the Son's purchase. Here are blessings of grace purchased for us, obtained for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. In Christ, He has obtained eternal redemption for us by the purchase of His blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood. What is this redemption? It is the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now we talk a good bit about limited atonement with no apology in this place. I preach it wherever I go. I preach it all the time. I preach it especially when I think folks don't like it. Limited atonement. How come? Because this is the revelation of the love of God for His people. This is the revelation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, by His death at Calvary, satisfied the justice of God, redeemed His people, put away our sins, and obtained for us the forgiveness of sins. Wherever there is atonement, there is forgiveness. Wherever there is a payment made, there is a ransom obtained. Wherever the blood of Christ is shed, God Almighty accepts the one for whom the blood of Christ was shed. Our Savior's work of redemption reveals and makes known to us the manifest wisdom of God. Look at verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God from eternity found a way to be a just God and a Savior. Redemption by Christ. Redemption by God sacrificing Himself is something utterly beyond the scope of human imagination. Read history if you have any question concerning that. And read about all the mythological gods of men. Read about all that men call gods throughout history and find one example of God sacrificing himself for the ones he receives. Never. The gods of the world require men make restitution to him. The gods that men make require that men make satisfaction. The gods that men make require that men suffer for sin. The God of glory reveals his wisdom and grace in that he found a way to be fully just and yet justify all for whom he makes the sacrifice. Just God and a Savior. Fully just and justifier of all who come to God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 9 and 10. By the incarnation, obedience, and death of the Lord Jesus, God has made known to us the whole mystery of his will. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. Why are we so mystified by the occurrences of time? Why are we so mystified by things that we see transpiring in time that cause confusion and cause murmuring and complaining? Because we fail to recognize the mystery of God's will is good. In all things, he's working good. That is, he's accomplishing the salvation of his people to the praise of his glory. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is, when the whole economy of grace is finished, when the whole service of grace is finished, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when God has finished everything he purposed to do, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. When the Lord God gets done, God Almighty will make all men see that everything that has been is for his glory and the saving of his people. Now God's mystery is hidden to the natural man, but is revealed to us in the gospel. The mystery of God's will is the glory and exaltation of Christ by the salvation of his people. It is the perfection and unity of God's church in Christ Jesus. It's the final restitution of all things to the glory of God. When John saw Christ riding forth, conquering and to conquer on a white horse, he said, on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. What's he talking about? Many crowns. Everything crowns the head of Christ our King. Everything shall redound to his glory. And then in verses 11 and 12, in Christ we have obtained this inheritance in heaven. It was predestined in eternity, secured at Calvary, purchased by the blood of Christ, and secured to us by God's providence, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Not we're going to. It's already ours, awaiting us in heaven, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All of this is done for us by our great triune Jehovah to the praise of the glory of his grace who first trusted in Christ. Paul is talking here about covenant blessings. Covenant blessings, a covenant made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with the mediator God-man, Christ Jesus, even before our Lord assumed our nature, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, stepped forth and said, trust your glory to my hands. Trust your will to my hands. Trust your people to my hands. And the Father trusted the Son. And the Spirit trusted the Son. And the Son trusted the Son. The God-man, our Savior, trusted by the triune God as our surety and mediator. This great blessing of grace, all this salvation, is ours by a divine trust. We obtain it in time by trusting the Son. But it is ours because God Almighty gave it to His Son in trust before the world was. Now, look at verses 13 and 14. Here are four blessings of grace bestowed upon us, bestowed on every chosen, redeemed sinner by the Spirit's irresistible power and omnipotent mercy and grace. In whom ye also trusted. That is, the triune God first trusted Christ. In whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, people today talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, and a lot of folks read this 13th to 14th verses of Ephesians 1, and they talk about a second work of grace. After being born again, after believing, then you're sealed. No. But having believed, you're sealed. Now, here's what Paul is telling us. God, the Holy Ghost, graciously caused you to hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Oh, how wondrously God arranges things. How God arranges things to cause you to hear. Just think about the Petersons, how God arranged things to cause you to hear. My dear friend, Brother Andre Gillet, he said, I can tell you one reason why we went to war with Iraq. He says, so God caused me to hear the gospel. God graciously causes His people at the appointed time of love to hear the word of His grace. And when He causes you to hear, not just with the natural ear, but with the ear of your heart and soul, by the hearing of the gospel, He gives you faith in Christ. Look at this. In whom ye also trusted. This trust, this confidence in Christ, is not something you can work up or muster, or you can be talked into by a preacher. This is the gift of God. Yes, it is my responsibility to believe Him. And it is your responsibility to believe Him. And the reason men and women do not believe Him is because they will not trust Him. They call God a liar, say He's not fit to be believed. And then God causes you to hear. And He reveals His Son in you. And when God reveals His Son in you, you just can't help it. you just can't. That which you could not do before, you cannot help but to do now. Because God, by the operation of His grace, works faith in you, giving you faith, confidence, trust in Christ. And having granted us life and faith in Christ, God the Holy Ghost has sealed us in Christ. Sealed to us all the promises of God, all the blessings of grace, all His salvation. What if God doesn't love me? Well, you'll be damned. What if God didn't choose me? Well, you'll go to hell. What if Christ didn't redeem me? Well, you will surely perish. How can I know if God loved me, if God chose me, if Christ redeemed me, if the Spirit's called me? As soon as you find yourself believing, having this confidence, you call God your Father. lift your heart to heaven, having sealed to you by the blood of Jesus Christ everything God gave you before the world was. That no man can do, no church can do, no religious ritual can do, but God does by His Word. And then God, the Holy Ghost, dwelling in us is the pledge of resurrection glory, the redemption of the purchased possession. Soon, this body will be laid in the grave, and my name will be forgotten in the earth. And then Christ will come again, and this body, raised like unto His glorious body, raised to be exactly as He is in His resurrection glory, perfect manhood joined to God. That's the pledge, the seal of the Spirit in our hearts. May God make it yours for Christ's sake. Amen.